I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Followers of Jesus Christ get quite passionate. And sometimes that passion is about faith. Sometimes it's about other things. The hotly debated issues of the day. This is not new. Of the 12 disciples, one was named Simon the Zealot. Now that was actually a description of a political movement that he was part of. He was on fire for Israelite nationalism. He wanted Jesus to be as motivated about this as he was. But Jesus had a different agenda. Simon was primed for the violent overthrow of Rome. The way of Jesus was the way of peace. Jesus subverted the social order, to be sure, but he did it through revolutionary love. He prevented Simon and the other disciples from defending him with knives and swords the night the mob came out from the temple police to arrest him. He allowed himself to be arrested and taken, and he died on the Roman cross. You have the hot button issue, and we have the hot button divisive issues of our day, and they do divide people. I mean, we can see it. In our church family, we can feel it. But if we step back and take a bigger look, these hot button issues come and go throughout history. This is not a present day phenomenon. There's the hot button issue, and they're important issues. But there's the way of Jesus. Simon the Zealot was a disciple who was passionate about the holiness of God's people. He wanted to see the chosen people ruling in the land God had promised to Abraham. He could point to Old Testament passages as biblical support for his zeal. Today, true disciples of Jesus Christ pour their lives into movements they believe to be extremely important and movements they believe are rooted in Scripture. Consider the following. There's theological passion. And some people build their lives around a defense of Reformed theology. They're ardent advocates. There's political involvement. There are some Christians, Christ followers, who are so involved in politics, it's hard to distinguish their Christianity from their patriotism. There are Christ followers who are into social justice. The whole of their faith expression is found in their adherence to the Scriptures that declare God's love for the needy and downtrodden. There are some followers of Jesus who hone in on a single issue. Abortion is one example. It's one of many examples. And I've met Christians whose entire faith expression is the pro-life, anti-abortion movement. These are all important issues. Theology, political issues, politics. I'm not critiquing the people who are passionate about them. I simply bring them up to point out that people who love Jesus and follow Jesus get wrapped up in specific issues and movements. We're called to love as God has loved us, often, and I want you to think about this if you feel a really strong leaning on one of these issues, often there are Christ followers on both sides in the debates. As important as the issues I have named and other issues are, these things are not the heart of who we are in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, names us. This is who we are. We are a people in Christ. Everything, politics, identity, vocation, our very lives are determined by this phrase, in Christ. One of the Apostle Paul's chief concerns in this letter, the book of Romans, is the heart. How are sin and death defeated? How is the heart transformed so that the person who was defined by sin is now defined by God's righteousness? There's a one-word answer. Jesus. All people sin. And in sin, we are lost. Paul emphasizes this in Romans 1 through 3. Sin destroys us. The only hope for rescue from the damage of sin is Jesus. We can only stand before God when we stand in Christ. Talking about Christ, we must talk about the crucial moment in the story. Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ resurrected. Moving through the stories of Jesus that we read during Lent, we get to this point, the heart of our faith. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Everything about me proceeds from my belief that Jesus is Lord and that he is the resurrected one. Everything about who I am stands on this belief. No other argument, ministry, current issue, or theological debate can claim a disciple of Jesus. How I vote does not show you who I am. Where you fall in a particular theological camp or ideological system does not tell me who you are. Nothing we can argue about is the cornerstone or the lifeblood. Faith in Jesus is the ground on which we stand. The Holy Spirit is the energy in us. We're all about Jesus. And when we speak of Jesus, the crucifixion and the resurrection inform our thoughts. To say we believe in Jesus is to say we're a confessing people. Confession is our verbal witness. We boldly speak our faith. Our declaration is absolute and uncompromising. Jesus is Lord. When he met the resurrected Jesus, the apostle Thomas shouted, "My Lord and my God!" And he was no longer doubting Thomas. He was confessing Thomas. In Philippians, Paul writes that after Jesus died on the cross, God exalted him so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. John of Patmos, writer of the book of Revelation, concludes that collection of spectacular visions with these words, "Maranatha, Amen, come, Lord Jesus." We are people who say it. Jesus is Lord, Lord of our lives. He's our God, our Master, and our King. Ours is a spoken faith. Our words, as we saw in Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, which we looked at last week, our words come from the faith we hold in our hearts. Paul writes, if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, we know it intellectually. Our faith is well-reasoned, but what we know through measured reasoning grips us in the deepest parts. We hold this faith emotionally. We speak it audibly because it's too much to hold it in. It can't be contained. It shouldn't be contained. Jesus is Savior and Lord. The message in Romans 10, 9 through 10 is the heart of our faith. Jesus and nothing else is the cornerstone of the church and the foundation of the individual believer's life. Every sinner needs Jesus and everyone sins. Once we understand ourselves to be in Christ, we realize we're not just saved, we're called. Called to share our faith. We tell the good news of salvation in Jesus that others might turn, hear and turn to him and themselves receive his grace and be saved. We can share our faith in countless ways, in just about any place. After a game of one-on-one basketball in the driveway, at a bar hanging out with friends, gathered with coworkers on a break at the coffee pot, in an instant messaging conversation, while jogging, in the foxhole, across the kitchen table, before bedtime prayers, in a song, in a handwritten letter, with a neighbor talking over the backyard fence, through prison bars. Jesus is Lord in all these places, and we can speak our faith in him in all circumstances. Paul says more about sharing the faith in Romans 10, 14 through 17. He writes, How are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes through hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. For Paul, the witness of Christians is the hope the world needs. In Romans 3:9, he writes, we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are under the power of sin. And in the next 9 verses, he makes 9 references to Old Testament passages that show that sin has plagued humanity in every age. He sums it up in verse 23, where he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Arguments about border walls or who can and can't get married, important though they are, fade to the background. Paul's concern is that all people sin, and thus all are permanently cut off from God. It's a universal theme. But then in Romans 10, Paul declares a second universal theme. Just as everyone sins, in Christ everyone finds salvation. Romans 10, 12 through 13, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just as sin's curse and death's cruelty are inflicted on all, so is God's grace through Jesus available to all. During Lent, we see our own need for God, and in seeing, we step toward him through repentance and confession. You can begin this journey today. If you've never put your trust in Christ, if you've never asked him into your heart, you can do that today. Come, confess your sin, repent, turn away from it, turn to Jesus. He's waiting with arms of love. Ask him into your heart. If you're already a believer, speak your faith. This morning, pray and ask God to give you the heart and the approach and the words and the opportunity so you can share Jesus with someone you know who needs him. Ask God to help you see how you can help someone else find faith in the risen Lord. Help someone else see how faith in the risen Lord is a present reality that defines our everyday lives. Help people who need him find their way to him. Between now and Easter, ask God to give you your voice as one who shares Jesus. Throughout Lent, step toward him. Step into the heart of our faith. Amen. We'll close our service in a time of response. I encourage you to sing your heart out to God. If you'd like me or one of our other leaders to pray with you, we'll have folks at the front and back. You can come for prayer, or you can come and kneel at the steps. Pray for people you know who don't know Jesus, who are cut off from God because they don't have that relationship. Pray for our church. Our church needs people praying for it constantly. Pray for our witness in this community. Would you stand as we sing together?